I'm Roxana, and I grew up in a home where everything appeared to perfection. We were there was nothing wrong with us. We were perfect, and that's all that mattered to my mom. We didn't talk about things that were bad, and we always put on a front that we had no troubles. Everything bad was swept under the rug. I really never knew how my parents worked through their issues. However, I could hear them at night arguing and fighting. And so I grew up thinking that if you didn't have any arguments, that everything was good. So fast forward to adulthood, and I had been married for almost 10 years when my husband told me that he didn't want to be married to me anymore. I had no idea what had gone wrong, since we didn't appear to have any issues. Up until then, I thought we had a perfect marriage, and I had a perfect life. I had two great kids. I was a stay-at-home mom, and in my world, everything was great. But looking back, I see that it was not a perfect marriage. We never struggled. We never discussed anything. But we were far from perfect, and the perspective that I had of marriage was wrong. I had placed my children above everything. They were my number one priority. My husband was second, and sadly, God was last. Needless to say, we were not believers. We were separated in August of 2000, and a month after, he confessed that he had a one-night stand since leaving our home. I was hurt and angry, but willing to forgive what I thought was forgiveness. Since I struggled with control, I decided to do whatever it took to get my marriage back on track. We started going to counseling. I started working out to get back into shape after having a baby. And I even asked him what it was that I could do to fix it. I was naive enough to think that I could fix things on my own. I was trying to take control and sweep major issues under the rug. A few months passed, and he was on his normal routine of picking up the kids, dropping them off. And during this time, I heard a lot from my kids about this woman. And when I asked him nicely to please stop bringing the woman around the kids, his answer to me was, "She likes them and she's good with them." And my response to him was, "These are my kids. She can get her own kids to like. These are mine." For a long time, I couldn't call her by her name. It was always that woman or the blonde, and these are the nice names. Like Harriet. It was a long 2 years before he decided that this wasn't going to work, and he filed for divorce. After the divorce, I put on my perfect face of, "I'm okay, I can handle this, I'm doing great." But the truth was that I was lonely, I was scared, and I was angry. And I felt like no one understood what I was going through. No one in my family is divorced, so no idea. 3 years after my divorce, a friend told me that she had started attending Watermark and was participating in divorce care. And I guess she sensed the anger in my voice from talking to me week after week about her own divorce. And she invited me to come with her the following week. To my surprise, that class was on anger. I continued to attend, and I started for the first time in my life to seek hard after the Lord. It was only through coming each week to divorce care that I realized that I had really not forgiven my ex. Each week, I poured into the homework and the scriptures associated with each chapter. It was only then that I allowed Christ to heal my hurt, and I chose to fully forgive my ex. After finishing divorce care, I joined a community group, and the leader of that group really encouraged me to seek forgiveness from God. She loved me, and from her I learned what a true woman of God looks like. She taught me that I didn't need to hide behind a perfect mask and pretend everything is okay. I could acknowledge my faults and confess my sins and seek forgiveness from God. I was so tired of pretending everything was good, so I sought forgiveness from God, but also from my ex-husband for the way that I had not been a good wife to him. forgiving her was a whole different story. I wanted to think I had already forgiven her when I forgave him. I also wanted to think that she didn't deserve my forgiveness. However, the Spirit stirred me many times. Luke 6:37 says, "Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven." And I wanted to think that I was starting to forgive. You see, unforgiveness had made me feel poison inside and was eating me up. I also wasn't fully trusting God with this. I thought, again, that I could handle it and I would deal with it the best way I knew in my own time. Not trusting God with this fully was preventing me from moving forward in my walk with Him. My relationship with Him was stifled. My ex-husband ended up marrying the blonde, and I recall very clearly the first time she came to pick up the kids without him. He had emailed me to tell me that a black car was going to pull up to my house and that I should let the kids go on out there. And I was mad. I was very angry. And 5 minutes before the time she showed up, I told my kids, "Stephanie's coming to pick you up. You need to just wait inside while mommy goes outside to talk to her." And they were, you know, peeking through the windows. And I said, "Just wait here." As I approached the car, she was pregnant. And she just looked at me like a deer in headlights. And I remember leaning down to look in through the window. And I said, "Stephanie, I don't know whose idea it is for you to come up and just pull up to the street close to my house and wait for the kids to come out, but I don't want you to do that. I would like for you to come up to my door, ring the doorbell, and get the kids." And she was still baffled. She said nothing to me. And I continued to look at her, and I said to her, "I forgave you and him a long time ago." It was then that she came out of the car, and she still looked at me, having said nothing to me. And I continued to speak to her, and I said, "You're about to have a baby, and I want this to be good for all of us, for the kids that I already have, and for your unborn baby." And that's when she spoke, and she said, "I want the same." And she asked me then if she could come up to the door and get the kids. And I said, "Yes." After the kids left, let me back up and reference scripture here. Ephesians 4:31-32 says, "Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." After the kids left that day, I came into my house and I just started crying. I had no idea this is what I was going to say, and I thank God for giving me the words that had been so hard to formulate until then. A big burden was lifted, and I felt the peace of God just come over me. Over time, we started talking on the phone, but mainly just to coordinate and talk about dropping off and picking up of the kids. And we figured it was easier to talk to each other than have my ex-husband as the messenger, because she was the one that was doing all the picking up. She had the baby, and I had the kids buy her some flowers, and we even went out together and bought the baby a gift. When her child was close to turning one, my kids kept on telling me, "Mommy, are you coming to the baby's party, to the baby's one-year-old party?" And I said, "Are you sure I'm invited?" They said, "Yes, you're invited." And I said, "Well, I haven't gotten an invitation." She's like, "No, you're invited." Anyway, I called her, and I said, "Stephanie, the kids tell me that I'm invited to the birthday party. If that's not the case, please tell me. No hurt feelings. But if there is an invitation, I don't want to ignore it and pretend that I haven't gotten the invitation." And that's when she said, "You are invited. I want you there. However, if it makes you feel uncomfortable, you don't have to come." And I said, "I will be there. It does not make me feel uncomfortable." And that's when she said, "Roxanna, if I had known all the pain this was going to cause. I would never have done this. I'm so, so sorry. When I heard this, I started crying like now. And I told her I forgave her. I hung up with her. And again, thank God that He had brought about this restoration in my life. When I forgave her, I never in a million years thought that she was going to be seeking forgiveness from me. And I knew that I couldn't have done this alone. And I had forgiven fully because He first forgave me. The day of the party, I made my way to her and I thanked her for inviting me and for having said what she did a few days earlier. We both looked at each other, cried, and hugged. And I knew that there were plenty of looks in my direction, as her whole family was there. However, I felt a confidence of walking with the Lord and a peace that surpasses all understanding. I continued to invite them to Watermark, and eventually they accepted, and they started coming. I knew that it was good for the kids to come here all the time, and I needed to be obedient to God and the prompting that He had placed in my heart. It's been awkward and uncomfortable, and I never wanted to invite them to my safe place and to my good church and to share my good friends. But I see the long-term benefits that this will bring our kids and the glory that this brings God. Thank you.